Amen. Thank God. What a wonderful God we serve. Now, those of you, we certainly invite those of you that have joined us in the podcast gathering, as we've already begun out here in the presence of the Lord in front of our sanctuary, and we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Amen. And all that means to us today. Well, let's get into the Word of God. And so we won't go over today, as we know today we have the Lord's table also. Ephesians, I hope you have the sheets. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. I hope you can get that. I gave you those because various versions read various ways. So I wanted you to have the same version that I studied it in, and an accurate version, so you could stay with us this morning. All right, Ephesians 1:15-23 reads, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. For above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. We ask a blessing to the readers and to the hearers of this portion of God's holy word. This morning I want to talk to you from the subject, the greatest power the world has ever seen. The greatest power the world has ever seen. Amen. Hopefully, when I finish, if you don't already know, I hope you get to know what is the greatest power that the world has ever seen. Listen, we're coming from the book of Ephesians, one of my favorite books of the Bible. The Bible I used to study with the most. I had a hard time preaching out of Ephesians because the pages was always falling out. Because Ephesians is such a great book to me. Listen, Ephesians gives us a portrait of the church. Amen. Christ's bride. We find a portrait in Ephesians. Looking at the whole book, it's a book of 6 chapters. That's the way you read it today. Of course, it was just when Paul wrote it, it was just a letter to the church of Ephesus. But today we look at it, and it consists of 6 chapters. Now, this is the way you want to divide it up. This is one of the best ways to divide it up. The first 3 chapters are talking about the believer's wealth. How rich we are. How blessed we are. The first 3 chapters of the book of Ephesians is talking about the believer's wealth. How rich, how blessed we are. Beginning in chapter 4, and 5 and part of chapter 6. Then he talks about, Paul goes on to write and talk about the believer's wealth. So first he talks about, this is how blessed you are, this is how wealthy you are in Christ, this is how rich you are in Christ. And then he says, now that you know how your wealth, there's a certain way you ought to walk. Right. Amen. And that's important because sometimes there have been people known who got inheritance and they were blessed and they had a whole lot of money and they were rich, but because they didn't know about it, they were living like they were poor. I've heard a couple of stories of people who somebody left them a lot of money and they were living on a meager existence because they didn't know how rich they were. So, Paul says, I want to tell you first how wealthy you are. Then I want that when you realize how wealthy you are spiritually in Christ, and that you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, then there's a certain way you ought to walk when you got that kind of wealth. Amen. Because when you're wealthy, you know, you can do things that people that are not wealthy can't. Then thirdly, beginning, I think, in chapter 6, verse 10, is the believer's warfare. All right, so y'all got it? The believer's wealth, chapter 1 through 3. The believer's walk, chapters 4 through 6, 9, I think. And then, beginning at chapter 6, verse 10, the believer's warfare. Those are the three things that Paul looks at in the book of Ephesians. Now, I wanted to give you that so you can see how it fits in. So today, we're in that part of Ephesians, of the letter, that talks about the believer's wealth, how they've been blessed. I feel inadequate, but I'm going to do the best I can. We may have to go back to those first verses. But I feel kind of inadequate because the verses we are looking at are really made fuller when you look at the first verses. I do want you to look at that verse 3 that says we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Amen. And that's what mainly that stuff. Let me put it like this. When Christ called us, because we're going to get to this in a minute, but I need to go ahead, I guess, and get to it now. Christ called us. Right, right. If you believe it, it's because you've been called out of the world to Him. And you, amen, accepted the call. He's called you. And whenever He calls you for something. Every believer has been called. That don't mean you've been called to preach in the pastoral way, but you've been called to carry the gospel. Every believer who's part of the church and every believer who's part of the church, you've been called. Because God has a plan. He wants to bring shalom back, peace back. And the way He's going to bring peace back is to bring everybody in the whole world under the Prince of Peace. Right. One of these days, what we look forward to is Christ reigning again. He's always reigning, but in the garden, we lost it all. Right. Amen. We lost it all. But I'm glad, as I've always said, after we lost it all, Christ came back. Amen. And He paid it all. And one day we're going to have it all back. We're working. We ain't got it all back yet. But when He reigns and He Lord of Lords and King of Kings and the whole world is under His authority, it'll be like a new Garden of Eden, and everything in the whole world will have a sense of well-being like never before. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed, to that time where Christ is head of everything. So what God is doing now is bringing everything together under Christ. We play a role in the church of doing that. When we win people to Christ, being His church, we play a role in bringing everybody under Christ's authority as we invite them through the gospel to come and follow Jesus with us. And one day all those who have made that decision to be followers of Christ and believing in Christ and place their faith in Christ are going to get together. And somebody say, oh, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. But we play a big role in that. That's what we've been called for. And we've been predestined for. That's what He talks about in these early verses. That we've been called, amen, to play a great role in bringing everything back under Christ. That's our destiny, is to one day explore the world as God created it to be. The world ain't like God created it to be. There's too much injustice, too much sorrow, too much brokenness, too many heartaches. Amen. The world is not what it's supposed to be. Too much hate, too much racism, too much stuff that have took the peace away. But one day it's going to be all right. Oh, what a day of rejoicing there's going to be. Now, but even though there's going to be a day of rejoicing, when all God's children get together, everybody's under God's authority, I'm not going to wait till then to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always, right now. Amen. Because I got to get some practice in for the big rejoicing day. I'm not going to wait till the big rejoicing day. I'm going to go ahead and start giving me some practice in it right now. Amen. So when I get there, I'll be ready. Somebody say, hey, amen. You don't have to get ready if you're already ready. So, in light of that, and Paul, as he goes on in the letter, I'm kind of getting to the text that we're looking at today. As they go on in the letter, he says, okay, knowing that, he said, I heard something about y'all. Now, Paul had founded the Ephesian church, but evidently in the time that he founded it, and where's that now? There's some new folk that came in and they're doing some things. He said, I done heard a couple of things about you. I've heard about your faith in verse 15, I think. I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Has anybody heard about your faith? I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and about your love for the brother. Paul said, I thank God because I've heard about your faith in your love for the brother. And then he's going to go on and start praying for him in just a second. Listen here. Listen, this is what I'm trying to say. These are the telltale signs of a true believer. These are the two telltale signs of a true believer. It's not how much you come to this building. It's not how much you come to church. No, that does not say that you're a true believer. But the telltale signs of a true believer is he had faith in the Lord Jesus. He had placed his faith or her faith in the Lord Jesus. He believes or she believes or they believe in Christ. They take him at his word and believe what he says. They believe who he says he is, he is. Amen. They believe what he said he done, he's done. They believe what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. And they put their faith in him. And, but there's another telltale. That's the vertical telltale sign between us and God. It's like, see these signs kind of, it come in, like in a crucifix. There's a vertical relationship between us and God when it's real, when you know Christ, when somebody truly couldn't. But then there's another horizontal plane. The cross got a vertical and it got a horizontal. And we have faith in God. That's our relationship. And that faith is not only the faith when you begin a relationship with Christ, but the faith that allows you to keep following him. It's the faith that brings you into a relationship and knowledge of him. And that knowledge of him, the relationship with him, impacts your life so much that it changes the way you love others on a horizontal plane. So you can't have faith in Christ. Listen to me. You can't have faith in Christ and not love the brothers. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciple, that you have love for another. So don't tell me you got the vertical if you ain't got the horizontal. The telltale sign is, yes, you got faith in Christ, but you also love the brothers. And you love the world. You love the inner laws. You have to bring them. And now, this is not a, this goes on. See, some of us love folks that like us. You know somebody got your same likes. They dress like you do. Go to the place you go, got your same team. Oh yeah, you know, we like those people. Love them. But now this is loving somebody that's not even like you. not your color, don't have your same flow, don't have your same swagger, don't understand you, but you can still love them. Y'all hear? Loving, sometimes even loving folks you don't. Ooh, I wish I had a witness. Loving folks you don't like. Amen. Yeah. Because the way they act sometimes. But so God allows us to love them to even the one we don't like. But not only do you love, and then there's another thing you can tell with real love. Not only do you love people that not like you, but you also love people that don't benefit you. Because some of us only love people that we can get stuff from. Some of us only love those that praise us. Amen. Those who can, when we're in need, can give to us. If we can't get nothing from the relationship, we don't want to have a relationship. But God teaches us to love that even when this person can give us nothing, we still love them enough to sacrifice in order to give to them. Do you understand the kind of love I'm talking about? Don't just love folks that can benefit you. I love you if you can do something for me. If you can't do nothing for me, I don't have time for you. Don't love people that can do something for you, but love says, I'll do something for somebody else. Even if they can't do anything, I love you. Even if my love is not returned, I still seek your greatest good at anything I can, in any way I can. That's what love means. That's the kind of love, that horizontal love that happens when you know Christ. So I want to ask you, do you have a telltale signs? Do you really have it? See, because don't nobody know you but you. Amen. Sometimes you can't fake it. Sometimes you fake it. But you know if you're really loving authentically. Secondly, so Paul said, hey, if you got those telltale signs, I think Paul said, oh, yeah. These Ephesians. Oh, yeah. I heard about your faith. I see how y'all loving. Y'all got the telltale sign. Y'all follow the Christ. Y'all for real. Y'all for real about following Christ. Y'all ain't faking it. Amen. You ain't just faking it, but y'all real about y'all following Christ. So that's why, that's why he prays for them and thanks God for them. And you know, I like the way we need to really look at how Paul prayed for those whom he ministers to. He has a responsibility of discipling in some way. This is a clue to all of us. If you got influence in somebody and parents, let me go to the parents. Parents got a responsibility to pray for children. You got a responsibility to pray for those under you. I'm going to say a little bit more about that. But see, I'm praying and thanking God for you. Paul, in all these letters, he's always praying for somebody to grow, to know Christ better. Grow and know Christ. He's all, you know, he don't pray like we pray. Very seldom do you see prayer, Paul asking for something for himself. You read all the letters. He's always praying for somebody else to be better, have a better time, know Christ better, walk in a better way. Always concerned about somebody else. Paul, now, and he praying this constantly. Amen. For this reason. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, I have not stopped. Y'all see that? I ain't stopped thanking God. Prayer. When you pray with somebody, your prayer life ought to be persistency. You ought to be persistent in your prayer life. But not only did Paul pray persistently, but he prayed generously. He didn't just pray for himself, but his prayer was generous that he prayed and went to God on behalf of others. But not only did he pray persistently and generously. He also prayed gratefully. He said, I thank God for you. Yeah. Who have you thanked God for? What brother, listen here, I need you to be honest with me today. I need you to be honest. We need to be honest with each other. What brother or sister, a lost person that God put on your heart, have you prayed for lately? So often we'll say lost in ourselves that we forget to pray for others. That's why I'm trying to, God to bring us up. You know, I'm talking to me as I talk to you. Sometimes we can get in our own world, in our own agenda, in our own activity. We're so absorbed in self that we go for days without thinking about others' needs and taking them before the throne of God. Paul said, Hey, I see you got something going. I said that you got a real too. You're a real follower. And I've been praying and thanking God for you. I don't stop doing it. Amen. I'm thanking God for you. Now, he said, listen, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory Father, make you. He said, now, I just talked to you about what or why, the why of him praying, let me say it like that. Now I'm going to tell you what he prayed. You saw the why he prayed. He saw something, he saw the spark. He saw the telltale sign that they were true believers. And he said, okay, thank God for that. Oh, God, you're really doing something. He said, now, but even though I know you're off to a good start, I see you growing, I see him, I see the cruise, I see you got the horizontal relationship and the vertical relationship, vertical and horizontal relationship, right? But now, I need to ask God for something else for you. He called a glorious Father, a glory. Whenever you think of glory, you think about seeing. When you hear that word glory, you're talking about seeing God in some way. When we glorify God, we're making him known to those that don't know him. We're helping them to see him. Whenever you see that word glory, you're talking about making God. So this is the Father that's able to make himself known. Now, Paul is saying to pray to the Father who's able to make himself known and who in so many ways makes himself known. And Paul begins his prayer to that Father who's able to make himself known. And he said, what I'm going to pray for, that he give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's the first thing he prayed for. He didn't pray for him, amen, to get a new car.
Right.
He didn't even pray for him to come to church. But he prayed for the most important thing, that they may know God better.
Right. Yeah.
There's nothing more important that you can pray for than knowing God better. Pray for people that they might know. He said, I know you know him because I can see it. The way you love folk. I see your faith in your love. But I want you to even know him better. I want you to know him more intimately. So I'm praying that revelation and wisdom will come. You can even know him better than you know him now. Because the best thing in life is knowing Jesus. And they really need to know Jesus because back then there was persecution. You could go to prison or you could be persecuted or give your life. So unless you know him, it was easy to go back. Because it was dangerous. You know, it's not as dangerous for us to be believers as it was back then. So you had to really know him. You couldn't halfway know him. Before coming, cutting your head off and putting you in prison and feeding you to the lion.
Right.
If you didn't really know him, you tempted to throw in the towel. You tempted to do like John Mark. Say, hey, Paul, I'm catch you later. I forgot I left the stove on at home. You would do that like get on. So he said, Pastor, hey, I see y'all did this stuff. I'm praying that you're knowing better, because that's what's going to keep you when trouble times come, is knowing God. Not how often you go to church. That might not keep you. I've seen folks go to church almost every Sunday. But when trouble comes, you got to know God. When you lose your source of income, you got to know him. You got to know who he is. Hey, when the doctor says, I've done all I can do for you, you got to know him. You got to know he's real. It's more than saying he's real. And that's just when you got to know he's real. Then you say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right because my God is real. And I know him, he can show up on time. And if he don't show up, I know he's still real. I'm just like the three Hebrew boys. I know he's able to deliver me. And if he don't deliver, I'm still going to trust him. That's when you know him for yourself. Oh, hallelujah. So, this morning. Now, I need to move on because I got to get to the main part. So that you may know. Now, that's the key. That's the main thing you ought to pray for. Then he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, all that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches, glory of the inheritance and the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. He said, first, I need the eyes of your heart. You're not talking about your eyes and your head. The eyes of your heart, your inner being, your innermost being, the real you. And what he said, I need the light to come on the inside. I need the light to come on the inside. I always call this, because this is part of my the thing that I'm here to do on earth. I'm here to help people get it.
Amen.
Yeah. I break it down. I'm here to help people get the story and God get the glory. So I want you to get it. And I think that what Paul said, I'm praying that they will get it on the inside. Now, you know how you can tell a person really, really get it? It's not if they amen it. Woo. If they amen it, don't mean that they're getting it. But if you get it, you live it. When you get it down on the inside, you so value the truth that the truth transforms your life. The way you tell if a person get it is if they live it. Some kind of frustration. And the frustration with those that preach to us, I'm going to preach to me or preach to you, some kind of frustration with those that teach us or those that discipling us is because, amen, they pour into you and they don't see you living it. And they just want you to get it. So they say, if they're not getting it this way, let me try another way. Because I got to somehow, I need them to get it. Because until they get it, they won't live it. See, I used to be back in the younger days preaching. I was just glad to have folk amen it. I'm going to preach pretty good. They amen in it. But then I realized it's not about me, how good, but am I doing it in a way that I see them later on living it? The joy comes when you see folk walking in truth. That's where the joy comes. So Paul said, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart be open and you get it. Let me show you how sometimes I get it. Sometimes you get it. Because you know the Bible says he'll bring it to your remembrance. So sometimes when you get yourself in trouble, like I do often, and I'll be sitting there, I say, how in the world did I get myself in this trouble? Then he'll bring it to my room with some scripture. Did you do that? I said, well, I guess I didn't do it. You preach it, but you didn't live it. The reason why you got yourself in this trouble Because he'll bring that scripture, that sermon, that message, that idea to your mind. Amen. And you'll realize, oh, Lord, that's why I'm in this. That's why I'm in a mess I'm in. When you're in a mess, he'll bring it to your remembrance. So that's why you're in the mess you're in. Because you didn't get it. But not only, but sometimes, even with things, you know, when you've been blessed, listen, see, that's when you tell, that's how it works on you, is when you're in a mess, he'll remind you how you got in the mess by not doing what he said. But also, when you get blessed, he'll bring to you, remember why you got blessed. So he don't, I'm glad God has bounced. When I'm in a mess, he says, oh, this is why you're in a mess. You've got. Then you get blessed. I don't want you to think it's you. You're in the blessed because you follow my guidelines. So he'll show you in both. Whether you're blessed or in a mess, he'll bring it to your remembrance and it come into your heart. Now, if you want to remember, hope of your call. You remember what I said at the beginning of the sermon? The hope of our calling is that we're going to play this role. The hope of our calling, hope, H-O-P, hope does not mean that it's uncertain. Hope does not mean that it's uncertain. Hope means that it's unseen, but it's certain. Oh, y'all, no, it's important. Hope does not mean that something is uncertain. You know what it was? Well, I sure hope Baylor wins. But they have, I'm uncertain. I don't know. They Gonzaga, I don't know. That's not what we're talking about. Hope is not being uncertain. Hope is being, is unseen. We don't see it yet. But we know it's certain. Somebody said, give me credit. CFD Manuel, he says that hope is faith on his tiptoes. He's trying to see it. Oh, I can see a little bit of it. You know, you can't hardly see it because the crowd's in the way. You're at the graduation or you're at the concert, you can't see it, but you know it's there, so you have to tiptoe. Hope is on faith on his tiptoes. Trying to get a glimpse of it. But you know it's there. I hear it. I see all the signs. I see the evidence. I'm just trying to get a glimpse of it. Yeah. That's hope. So our hope is that one day, as I said, it'll be a whole new world. Christ reigning. Better than any president we ever had. He'll reign. And the whole world will be a place of ultimate well-being and peace. Wow, I'm waiting for that day. And I'm certain it's going to get there. I'm certain one day I'm going to be there to see that. I'm certain that one day that great day of rejoicing is going to be. That's why those early Christians were willing to die for the cause of Christ. Because they weren't just looking at now. They were certain that whatever happened to them in this world, there was going to be a day of rejoicing. But not only am I certain about eternity, but I'm certain that right now, what he promised me right now, amen, that I'll get those promises too. Because those promises are also true. Let me move on. And the glorious, the riches of the glorious inherited in the saints, one of these days, when that time happens, will be his inheritance. All the people that he died for, coming under his lordship, loving him, glorifying him, praising him, worshiping him, will be his inheritance. That's how precious you are to him. That's how precious the church is to him. Oh, he's an awesome God. Oh, I just can't wait till that day comes. But I told you, I'm not going to wait before I give some glory right here. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to try to get as much of heaven on earth as I can. It ain't gonna be a whole lot, but all I can get, I'm gonna get. I take what I can take right here on earth. Now I'm getting to the most important one. I'm about to figure this out. I don't know what time it is, y'all. Y'all got to kind of help me. If I get too late, if it be 1 o'clock, it'll probably be about 1 o'clock. Yeah, listen to him to what I'm trying to say. Now he talks about the one more, and this is where he's putting more, the power is incomparably great power for us who believe. Y'all see that? Let me tell you what verse it is again. Verse 19. And his incomparable great power for us who believe. He has it. You can't compare it to nothing. You can't find nothing to compare it with. It's such a great power, you can't compare it with anything on earth when you're trying to explain it. And I like that part that said before us. God has incomparably great power. And it's for us. So that incomparable great power that he has, it's for us. It's for us to be able to do the assignment that he set out for us to do as the church. He said, when you do my assignment, I've got incomparable great power that's behind you. Quickly. When he says this, there's four kinds of power that he talks about here. Incomparable great power. Then he says, y'all see, that power. Everybody see where I'm at? Let me go back. And his incomparable great power for us who believe. There's that power. Y'all see that? Everybody with me? Everybody woke? Everybody waking up? Everybody with me? I don't want you to miss it because you're going to meet the incomparable great power and you're going to go home powerless. I want you to have some power. That's what I'm trying to get to. See? All right, verse 19, and his incomparable great power for us. He got power. God got power that he's going to use for us, and you can't even compare it with somebody else. The power, now that word power is the Greek word dunamis, dynamite. There's a raw power. God said, I got raw power. I can move mountains because I got dynamite power. I got raw power. Then it says, is like the working. That's another word for power. That's an inner power that comes from the inside that propels you to do something. Like when you talk about God is able to change the heart or control the heart of the king or turn the heart of the king. God got power that's an inner propulsion. He can give you want to, and he can give you the can do. That's why I put it. He can give you the want to on the inside, then he can give you the can do. If you have the want to, but you ain't ready, you ain't got the want to yet. Say, God, I want the want to. Because I know I got the want to, and I know I can do it in Christ. So that's what working. Working is the inner propulsion. That thing on the inside, it's that something on the inside that propels you. Thirdly, of his mighty might. That's another word for power. He used my four word power. I'm trying to give you all of them. I wish I could get the outline you have. The other word, might. It's a different Greek word. This means the ability to conquer. We got raw power. We got interpropulsion power. We got might. The ability to conquer, like Caesar conquered Cleopatra. Conquering power. We are more than conquerors through him because we got that power too. And then one more in that strength. That's a physical power. God said, and see, Paul couldn't find one word to even come close to showing you this, the greatest power that the world has ever seen. So he used four synonyms to kind of just get you, move you toward how powerful God is. Yeah. That's what Paul does sometimes. Paul sometimes will stack synonyms thing that kind of mean the same thing to express, to show how great God is. That's what he does when you go over in this same book, over to chapter 3, when it says he's exceeding. God is able to do, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask. He's stacking synonyms, trying to show you how powerful your God is. And he can use that on your behalf. When you carry out your assignment. So when you carry something, you never say, I don't know if we can, when God call you to do something, or give you a heart to do something, or put something on your heart, never say, I can't. Because he has the greatest power on that the world has ever seen. And I'm going to say, well, wait a minute, then the 20 said, I'm going to show you how great it was. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from, you want to know how powerful he is? He raised Christ from the dead. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, wait a minute, let me see if I can help you to get that. You didn't get that. It raised Christ from the dead. Mm. It raised Christ. You got to understand. Christ, when we look at the cross, when we look at the cross, we see how much he loves us. But when we look at the resurrection, we see how powerful he is. Oh, you don't hear me. It raised Christ from the dead. Don't you realize when Christ died and they buried him, everything that the Satan could do, every demon he could use, every power, all the power he had, he used everything to keep Jesus in the grave. The last thing he wanted was Jesus to get up out of that grave. If I could, he said all the powers of hell were trying to keep Jesus in the grave. But early Sunday morning, he got up. Woo, that's power. Listen. He got up, but listen, he didn't only get up out of the grave. All of hell tried to keep him in the grave. He got up. Woo, I told you. Not only does God, let me see how I'm going to put this, have power, but God's in power. Because when he got up, look at, keep reading. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. But he didn't stop there. He seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Not only did he use the power to get him up, but then he put him in power on the seat, in the right seat. That means when you're at the right seat, that means there's nobody above you. That means when you say yes, can't nobody say no. When you say no, can't nobody say yes. When you open the door, can't nobody close. When you close the door, can't nobody open. Everybody else, when they say something, you gotta put a comma behind it. But when God says something, you gotta put a period behind it. Cause God got the last word. Because Jesus is on the right hand of the throne, and his power, not only does he have power, but he's in power. Which is there in Christ, waiting for the day, and seated him in the right hand of heavenly realms. This is far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given. Not only right now, in this present day, but also at the time. Out of Jesus is at the right hand, and there's no power that will ever be greater than him. So Robert, Ernie, who's going to stop you? Sister Junior, when we're carrying out something, ain't no demon in hell can stop you carrying out God's program. Because you got the person that had the highest seat. It's two kind of power. I hear so. Another way to explain them quick is that it's like a law officer. This may not be a good example for our culture, but like a law officer. He has a badge and a gun. Now, when he comes to you, if you got that badge on, you're supposed to respect his authority. This is authority power. He's in authority. But now if you don't respect his authority, then he got the other power that's on his side. So, amen. One power or another gonna get you. God has authority, but he also had raw power that he can use in any situation. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, because so often we're living below our power. We got our power on our side, and we're afraid to do what God asks us to do, what God tells us to do, what God promises us to do. We're afraid to take our promises lane. Go forward. Amen. Do the mission. We're afraid to do things. And God said, why are you afraid? I got all power. I'm on authority. Can't nobody stop me when I tell you to do something. I can get. Don't worry about what folks say. Don't worry about anything when they say you can't. I'm behind you. I'll exalt you. Look at Jesus, born to a poor family. Mary, she could reign on maternity because she was poor, live in Nazareth. They said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Amen. Talked about his whole life. He kept growing. Then they saw you, the good man, innocent man, receive. He's the only person, never to sin, never to do anything wrong, never to treat anybody wrong. Yet, he received the greatest injustice, got a death penalty, crucified him, put him on the cross, buried him, put a seal on his tomb. And when he put a seal on his tomb, he said, don't mess with him. Don't come in his tomb. Because if you come in his tomb, you got to deal with my power. But what he didn't realize, Caesar didn't realize, there was another power. Herod didn't realize there was another power. Pilate didn't realize there was another power. Woo! Higher than his power. So early Sunday morning, the other power got there and rolled the stone away and emptied the tomb. The tomb is empty because he's risen. And now he's seated on the highest throne forever. I said, wow, you took him from the poor family where he was born, the neighborhood they talked about that he came out of, the injustice, and being buried, and folk, haters, trying to do everything to bury him, and then you seated him out. Wait a minute. That can be our stories. I don't know about you, but that can be my story. Amen. When you came out of poor family, a neighborhood that they talked down about. Amen. Then all your haters tried to bury you. But somehow, because of the power that was on your side, they couldn't keep you down. And now he done exalted you and brought you up. I wish I had a witness in here. I got the clothes, y'all. I'm supposed to too long. But look at here. I tried to tell you one before. Amen. When those slave owners and those folks that were discriminated against us, and the slave owners made one big mistake. Amen. They should have kept us on the plantation. They should have never let us go to church on Sunday. But, oh, Lord, they let us go to church. My goodness gracious, Lord. Amen. The best way you keep a man down is to keep him out of the church. Because when you get to the church and you try to hear, you start hearing about how good God is, and how powerful God is, how mighty God is, how he's a way maker. Amen. And those slaves begin to believe, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I'm in his church. His power is behind me. Ain't nothing that I can do. Woo! Hallelujah. You see, they put him there because they wanted the slave preacher. Tell them to be obedient. Yeah, yeah. Tell them to stay in their place. Yeah, yeah. Tell them not to want anything more. And he tried to. Yeah, yeah, you know, slave owner obeyed the masters, and this and that, yeah, yeah. And they listened to it. All right, brother preacher. And they said that then the white man was looking over and said, all right, y'all good. But they didn't realize, late in the midnight hour, the same church, they steal away out in the brush hall. Hallelujah. And that same preacher said, don't worry about what I said this morning. I want to tell you that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask and think. I want to tell you, sooner we'll be done with the trouble of this world. And we're going home to see our God. I was about to tell you, trouble will last always. Because our God, he's a good God. should have come from church. If he'd have come from church, we wouldn't end up in the White House. Oh, I had a witness. If we'd come out of church, we wouldn't be vice president. Why did you let us go to church? And we were from the plantation to the White House. Woo! My. Oh, Lord, we went from picking cotton to picking presidents. Oh, he'd have come without a church. But he got us in church. And we learned about God. Oh, no, ain't no stopping us now. Oh, hallelujah. Wherever you are, that resurrection power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's why we still rise. Because the same power. That's why we can make it up the hill. Because the same power that raised Jesus raises us. He raised me. You raised me up. Oh, Lord. You raised me up. Thank you, Lord. If you're there, I got to cut this off. But that's the power. That's the power he wants us to know, y'all. That's the power he wants you to know. Stop living below your power.
Jesus.
If you're living in fear, you're living below your power. If you're living in disobedience, living below your power. He got all power. He don't need no help. What a mighty God. You say, if you're out there in Radio Land, podcast together, you're here on this parking lot, you don't know Christ as Savior Lord, now's a good time to come to know Him. We want to give you a chance. This is our communion day. Gather up what you're going to use as the drink. Amen. Gather it up. What you're going to use as your fruit of the vine, the representative blood. Gather up what you're going to use as your bread. We're going to give you a little of this song, and then we're going to finish with the Lord's table.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
What can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the bone that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, oh, wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Yes,
Lord. There is power.
Yes.
Wonder-working power in the blood. In the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power. So much power. So much power, wonder-working power in the precious blood, in the blood of the Lamb, the blood that Jesus shed. be shed for me.
Way back on Calvary, y'all.
Way back on Calvary.
Hallelujah.
From day.
Today. Yes.
It will not.
Never.
Never lose. My God. It's high. Oh, but it reaches.
Reaches, yeah.
To the highest mountain.
But this is the part I like here. This is the part y'all like.
Because
I went on the mountain.
To the low.
I was down in the valley. Hallelujah.
All the blood.
But the blood gave me some strength.
That gives me strength from day.
Yeah.
Today.
Mm.
It will never.
Never.
Never lose. His power.
Amen. Just look. Right now, open your, you got two, you got to be, open up your little thing there. Sometimes it's difficult, but it can be done, we hope. Two elements, the bread and juice representing fruit of vine, the Jesus' blood that was spilled for the remission of our sins, and also the bread that represents Christ's body that was given for us. This is a little hard, but I'm going to work with it. All right, that's it. The power. And never lose the power. Amen. Have the power to get it open. Have the work. All right. So here we go. So as we do this, we remember how Christ suffered for us. Oh, on that Friday. Man. He went through it. He went through it on his way to the cross. The beating. The verbal abuse, physical abuse. Body torn. Greatest injustice ever. Took him to the cross. Nailed him to the cross. The thing that always amazes me. That he's the Son of God. He could have stopped it at any time. But he didn't stop it. Because he had to pay the price for our sins. That's why we have heaven. That's why we have certainty. About that great end of morning. Because of what he's done. So we have to examine ourselves, look at our own lives. I said, when you look at your own life, you never find perfection. There's always going to be some wrinkles, sin, stubbornness, disobedience, rebellion to some extent. God is going to show you the things he wants you to work on now. That he's willing to give you the power now to overcome. And then when you overcome those, he's going to show you some more. So let him talk to you. As he brings those things to you, ask him for forgiveness and for strength. Don't live beneath your power. He got the power to deliver you and to move you to another level. So take a couple of moments and let us meditate and pray to God about those areas that we need to give to him and ask him for strength. Amen. Now realizing what these symbols represent, the bread, his body that was given for us, and the fruit of the vine, his blood that was spilled for us. And by taking it, we're saying Christ on the only way we can live the Christian life effectively and accomplish what you called us to. and what you created us for is by your power being within us and for us. You may now take, eat, and then drink. Amen. Thank you so much. Quickly, podcast. Thank you for joining us. I don't think they cut it off. They may charge us a little extra, but they're gonna cut it off. I don't think. Thank y'all for joining us. We're going maybe a little long today. We want to remind everybody that next Sunday we're hoping to be inside the building. Yeah, we're worshiping inside the building. You have to call in order for us to pull that off. You have to call and make reservations. Because we're only going to do it when we have a certain amount of people. So call and we can have your little spot for your pod reserved. Have everybody socially distanced. We can even wear your mask, but we'll be inside next week. So that's what we're going to try to do. You can either call, leave it on, or leave it on the website. Or we'll find some way for you to get in. Just call. Leave a message. Leave a message on, you can leave a message on my phone. Just text me. Text me 903-915-0865. Just text me on that. Because a lot of times I may not answer you right away, but if you text me, I'll get your text. Or if you're going to share with me, text her. Or let somebody know that's in a position of authority and then where to get to us. So that's next Sunday. Amen. Time will be the same, but we're going to be inside. And then we'll be back outside. And God said the same on the third Sunday. That is, if we get enough people, but we'll make you aware of that at least by Friday evening. So if you call, y'all got to get in for Friday evening before we make the decision whether, because if only two people, then we probably won't come as only two or three people. All right, so get that in. All right, also, let's remember be in prayer for Brothers Ernest Jones' sister-in-law. Amen. And Jennifer Jones, I think. Is that her? Do you remember what Jennifer? Is that her cousin? Oh. Well, Jennifer Jones and their family, Victor Jones family, they had a death too, so they'd be in prayer for them. All right. Good to see y'all be on the podcast. Oh, and also we are. Next Sunday, for those of you who are not comfortable coming to the inside in the church next Sunday, we're hoping to have a live stream on the website. So if you want to, Gabby? The link, Gabby can get you the link to the website if you don't want to just go into the website. The website is, the Beth Church, the letter N, Mahara, .net.com. The Beth Church, letter N, Mahara, .org. Yeah, if you get that first, it'll give you the rest. And Gab works hard. She's been working on this. Trying to get this done for weeks and months with all other stuff you're trying to get done. But we think we finally got it. So hope you can go to that website you'll see us inside. Hopefully you'll see us inside the sanctuary. Those of you that can't actually come. All right, and those of you in podcast land, y'all can not only listen to us, but you'll be able to see us. All right. I think that's everything. I'm missing. Oh, don't put no spaces. I think most of you that do it at all time. Don't put no spaces in it. Which one is it? Is it org.com? .org. All right. All right. Here we go. So the Beth BTH Church, letter N, Mahara, M-E-X-I-A, .org. And you put up our website, got a lot of other stuff in it. And you'll be able to see us there. It'll have a button that say watch live. You push that button, you can watch live. Thanks to God. All right, thank you, Gabby. So if it don't happen, I mean, Gabby, she's almost, we have to work on it, but she's coming. It actually happened at the half. We had it last night, so hopefully our wife and everything up here can do it too. All right. All right, I think that's it, y'all. Let's get ready to go. If you y'all are praying, we finna give the benediction, the podcast land, or here on the parking lot. Y'all have a, enjoy the rest of the day as you celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. But don't only celebrate that on this day. You ought to celebrate that as much as you can. Amen. God is good. Remember, the greatest power the world has ever seen was given to Jesus for us that are in the church. Wow. What a powerful God we serve. God, we just thank you for everything that's happened. Bless every soul that's here. God, don't let the enemy take the word that was planted, but let it grow until it begins to transform the way we live our lives. And we'll live our lives fearlessly and courageously as we seek to live out our assignment and our missions in this world to your glory. For you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Now unto him that's able to keep us and present us without fault before our Father's throne. May the love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit our comfort, rest, rule, and abide with us now henceforth and forevermore. Let's all say together three times, amen, amen, and amen.